The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, good afternoon to you. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Well, that had me cutting a little rug here in my office. Yeah, How are you?
It's actually a very nice song. I liked it. I think our music's been great today. Some days I hate the music that we play. not that I keep that to myself, but today's really been enjoyable. The UAE Red Crescent has said that Hamas has kept them from distributing humanitarian aid. Now, of course, we're not shocked by this, but I am surprised at the announcement.
Well, you know, the truth always will come out. Mm-hmm. And I remember 3 years ago during Operation Mevtza Tzuk Eitan, Protective Edge, speaking every day and really trying to caution people against believing what they saw in the media, which is building this perception that Israel was just mercilessly attacking Gaza for some flimsy homemade rockets that were fired at Israeli civilians. Now, we know for sure that those rockets are not flimsy homemade rockets. They had reached far, far, far deep into Israel, sending virtually the entire country undercover. But we know, Howard, from working in the media, the level of hatred and accusation against the state of Israel. And we would say often to deaf ears that Hamas hide within their civilian population. They fire on our civilian population using their own as human shields. And, you know, people would poo-poo this away as propaganda. But it's one thing if Israel says it. It's another thing if the Western media started to report on it, and they did. They started to say that very, very often they have been used as human shields. They've witnessed rockets being fired from schools, from mosques, from the zoo, from people's private homes, from the hospitals. And now we finally have it that the United Arab Emirates aid organization, Red Crescent, and I don't think we can confuse this with the Red Crescent, which is the equivalent of the Red Cross or Magen David Adom. The Secretary General of the Red Crescent Society of the UAE has said that Hamas really attempted to prevent the distribution of humanitarian aid in Gaza. And he said that they sabotaged this. They said if it's one thing people who aren't Muslim attack them, it's another thing when it comes from your own, the very community that you are trying to protect. They say that this is the ultimate hurt. And they said that Hamas try to accuse them of being spies, undercover foreign, they say intelligences, I think they mean agents. And they said that this was so bad that even when they left the strip through the Sinai, Hamas had apparently alerted extremist militias or terror groups in the Sinai that there was a group making their way there, so prepare for jihad against them. And when this group of humanitarians from the UAE stopped at a grocery store to buy something to eat, they were shot at by these jihadis. So I'm just hearing the chickens clucking really loudly as they're really coming home to roost. And I don't think it's a coincidence that we're hearing about this on the back of the UAE breaking off diplomatic ties with Qatar, who very often shield Hamas.
And the other interesting thing is that we had that discovery and the open discovery of the tunnels underneath the school. Now we've known about this, we've reported on it, we've discussed it, but we've never had it officially confirmed. We now are seeing this in generalized media. So there's definitely a bit of a turn against what I perceive as a shift against the tyranny of Hamas.
I think so. I think that the world is starting to realize exactly who they're dealing with, reframed charter or no reframed charter. And I honestly believe, you know, it's a simple like spiritual truth. Never tell a lie, because eventually the truth does come out, and the truth is starting to come out in a big way. So we have exposed them, and they continue to be exposed for exactly what they are, which is a genocidal, homicidal bunch of media manipulating liars.
So you know what I was thinking the other day, and I actually wanted to discuss it with you. to some extent, and I was trying to think about how to actually write an article on it, because it needs to be written, but to some extent, part of the damage of the BDS is that they have hijacked the Palestinian cause, but not for the Palestinians. We, as Jews and as caring people, whether we're Jewish or not Jewish, should actually be marching for Palestinian rights as well. We should be trying to free the Palestinians from the tyranny of Hamas, from the tyranny of the Palestinian Authority, who doesn't allow an election and who doesn't value human rights. We shouldn't have allowed the BDS movement to hijack it, because in fact it's damaging the very cause that they claim that they are supporting.
Absolutely. You know, they're hurting not just Palestinians, but they're hurting the South African narrative as well, because they've hijacked both of them for nefarious reasons. And if you do check out the website for BDS, they make their claims very clear. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, which means the total eradication of the state of Israel, or for Israel to not exist as it currently does. They are honestly advocating genocide, and we've seen this by the sometimes violent nature of their protests and their actions around the world, especially on college campuses. So I think there can be no more unifying factor for Palestinians, for South Africans, and for Israelis to all come together and say, enough is enough. This wolf in so-called humanitarian sheep's clothing is creating a situation around the world that is so anti-human rights.
But do they ever place any pressure to date? Have we seen the BDS or any of these organizations placing pressure on Hamas? It's actually a very simple question.
No,
I don't recall ever seeing it.
Many of them are in league with Hamas. You know, they start, they allow people who are openly supportive of Hamas to be their guest speakers when it comes to hate fests like Israel Apartheid Week. They're open, and we saw it on Wits campus this past Israel Apartheid Week, where their supporters were flying Hezbollah flags and chanting all kinds of really hateful invective against the Israeli representatives on campus.
Absolutely fascinating. We're going to keep an eye, obviously, on these developments. We've been talking a little bit earlier in the show, and I said that you and I would be chatting about it. Is the fact that Israel is now working with Egypt and the EU with regard to the Gaza electricity crisis. If somebody has just joined us, or they haven't been following the news, give us a very quick overview on what's going on in Gaza with regard to this crisis.
Okay, well, first of all, I want to clarify something very, very important. It's an internal Palestinian issue. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with Israel. And I'm going to repeat that, because I know that there are a lot of those, and especially after we've just discussed BDS, who will immediately attack Israel. This is an internal Palestinian dispute between Hamas and the Palestinian Authority. And Prime Minister Netanyahu actually tried to distance Israel from the situation. And how Israel kind of does sort of in a roundabout way have something to do with this is that Israel provides the electricity for Gaza at the behest of the Palestinian Authority. And it was the Palestinian Authority who said to Israel, they have not paid the electricity bill. We cannot continue to supply them with electricity. Now, what will ensue is a terrible humanitarian disaster. And now that you've just mentioned putting the pressure on BDS, BDS should be putting pressure on both parties, Hamas and Fatah, to sort this out for the sake of their civilian population. But they are far more concerned whether or not Radiohead or Britney Spears is performing next month in Tel Aviv.
But are they?
So, of course, they are performing next month in Tel Aviv. I mean, Rod Stewart's just arrived. I can't keep up, Howard. So many acts, so little time. Who do you go and see? But in the meantime, Egypt, who has extremely tense relationships with Hamas, has offered a little bit more freedom and has offered to supply electricity. And we're working with the European Union as well. And Egypt have a list of demands. They want Hamas to hand over 17 men who are wanted by Cairo on terrorism charges. And they say that they want more protection by Hamas at the border and for the smuggling of weapons through the Sinai into Egypt. That needs to stop. But in the meantime, there is a really, really grave humanitarian crisis in Gaza, with Gazans who only receive about 3 or 4 hours of electricity a day.
Incredible. Absolutely heartbreaking, and for absolutely no reason but pure tinnery. The IDF is to compete in a Russian military competition.
Well, this is the first time the IDF will be competing in Russia's third annual Army Games, which will take place later this month and runs to August the 12th in Russia, Azerbaijan, Belarus, Kazakhstan, and China. And Israel will compete in the categories of field medicine and field kitchens, two things I think we really excel at. We know about field medicine, but I didn't know about field kitchens, but this being a Jewish country, what can I say?
This is a priority. What are you talking about?
Of course it's a priority.
Ask Napoleon.
But, yeah, so a total of 73 countries have been invited to participate, and 27 have confirmed their attendance, including some newcomers. Syria. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how they –
That's going to be an interesting one.
It's going to be a very interesting one, because I don't know how they're going to navigate if America competes and if and Israel, of course. Fiji, I mean, who knew Fiji had an army? South Africa, again.
I didn't know we had one either, actually.
Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk
it? Who would
have, indeed? Uzbekistan, Uganda, and Laos.
Absolutely amazing. Really, really incredible. Finally, France and Britain have announced an anti-terror plan.
Well, I think this was a long time coming. And Britain's Prime Minister Theresa May has met with President Macron. And I mean, I just have to tell you that everything about Emmanuel Macron is fascinating if we look at global politics. But that's a whole other show. So they have announced that they will work together on some kind of anti-terror action plan to crack down on radicalization through social media. Because it's one thing to have boots on the ground and to take the military approach and to take the law enforcement approach. It's another thing to deal with it where it actually starts. And that is in social media. And I know that France has got very, very sophisticated monitoring devices in place and very, very strong legal penalties in place should there be harmful content and attempt, and this is quoting Theresa May, to halt the spread of extremist material and poisonous propaganda that warps young minds. And she says they are aware that they need to do more. And she's come under very, very heavy criticism on the back of this latest election disaster. I mean, my British friends here are just shaking their
horrified.
Heads in utter dismay.
Yeah. If you'll excuse that expression.
Because of lack or slack response to terror. I mean, we hear today that one of the perpetrators of the London terror attack, his wife works at Heathrow Airport.
It's absolutely astounding. And to me, what was very, very clear was the fact that during the run-up to the election, during the last week, they were all over the show. They had no idea how to actually unify and lead from the front. There was an incredible void in leadership just close up to this election. And in fact, the terror attack should have handed it to a conservative government rather than strengthening a Labour government.
Exactly. And they say that it was pure hubris or vanity on the part of Theresa May to call for this election, because all that it has done, and never trust the polls, because this time last week we were saying it looks like
a
Theresa May landslide.
So
the lesson is never trust the polls.
Yes.
And by polls we mean opinion polls.
Exactly. because we've got nothing against the Polish unless they're the mayor of Warsaw, right?
But exactly, because, you know, things get misconstrued.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And the next thing is we land up in front of the Equality Court. It's actually, I don't know, I just don't know how these things work, really.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, they say it's pure vanity and it has empowered or emboldened Jeremy Corbyn, who has all these fantastic plans, but not, it doesn't have a
brain in his head. Say
a clue.
It. Oh, that, yeah.
He doesn't have a lot of things, but he doesn't have a cooking clue how he's going to implement all these plans. So,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely astounding. A couple of SMSs I just want to go through quickly. Unsigned is saying, and we were talking earlier about the pressure on Hamas from the UAE at the moment. Is this thanks to Donald Trump and Nikki Haley? It's an interesting one. Yeah.
That is a very interesting question. I think, you know, Nikki Haley's actions at the UN are certainly waking people up. Is it Donald Trump? I'm loath to say Donald Trump because there is this anti-Trump backlash in the European Union. So I think it also has to do with the changing temperature in the Middle East. And by changing temperature, I don't mean skyrocketing temperatures here in Israel, but this whole change in the way things are going. But it could also have been his speech in Saudi Arabia, which was probably the speech that Obama should have made 8 years ago. But, you know, today it's so difficult to predict.
And to attribute one reason to it. Finally, somebody saying, shouldn't the BDS help with the power crisis if their concern is really the Palestinian people? Well, indeed, their concern, we know, is not the Palestinian people, but the Israeli people, because they don't want Israel to exist at all. 5:26, about to go 5:27. Rolene Marks, that's where we're going to leave it. Thank you, as always, for an insightful and very, very interesting Israel report brought to you by the Blue Agency. We'll speak to you tomorrow afternoon.
I'll be back with my whiskey glass.
Excellent. We'll see you then.